I'm delighted that you're here. Your presence is indicative of your interest in things that are spiritual, and that being the case, I trust that you've brought a Bible with you and are eager to take that Bible and let's study together as we talk about things that have to do with serving God here and now and going to heaven when life is over. It is obvious to even the casual observer that the religious world is divided. There are many different denominations, every kind of sect. There are many different doctrines that are being taught, many different beliefs and numerous practices that you find in the religious world. The question for us tonight is, does it make any difference about any of this? Does it make any difference of which church you are a part? Does it make any difference what you believe in religion? Does it make any difference what doctrine you endorse or what doctrine you teach? Does it make any difference what you practice in religion? And I want us to take that question and look at it in several parts. And I want us to begin by talking about how that this is a very popular concept. And having seen it's a popular concept, we'll see that it serves as a barrier to the gospel. And then we'll talk about the fact that it does make a difference what we believe. And we'll move to talk about how it does make a difference what we practice in religion. And then we'll talk about consequences of either one of those positions, that it does make a difference or it does not make a difference what you believe in religion. And so our question for tonight is, does it make any difference what one believes in religion? I want us to begin now by talking about how that this is a very popular concept. In fact, it's so popular that most of our religious friends and most of our religious neighbors think that it makes no difference what you believe in religion. And that is, most of them think that when it comes to matters of religion, that all that really matters is if you're sincere, if you believe in the Lord. In fact, you may hear statements like these. You may hear someone say that faith alone is all that really matters. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, while they may think that you have to believe in the Lord, they really think it makes no difference what else you believe in religion. Doesn't make any difference about that. Believe what you want, be in the church that you want, practice what you want, just as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that matters in religion. So it really doesn't make any difference what you believe, they tell us. Or you may hear someone say, well, sincerity is all that matters in religion. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. It doesn't make any difference of which church you're a part as long as you're sincere in what you do. You know what that says? It says it doesn't make any difference what you believe in religion. It says the same thing. Someone else comes along and they'll say things like, join the church of your choice. Well, don't join the church of God's choice, but you join the church of your choice. You pick out a church that's like you want it to be, that believes what you want it to believe, and practices what you want to practice, that makes you feel good about your religion. And you join that church. Just join the church of your choice. After all, one is as good as another. And we're all on the same road to heaven after a while anyway, aren't we? And you hear those kinds of statements, and they say simply that it makes no difference what you believe in religion. Or you may hear someone equate good moral people with being Christians. You may hear your friend talk about, you know, my neighbor is a good Christian man. Oh, I didn't know he went to church. Oh, he didn't go to church anywhere, but he's a good Christian man. What do you mean? Well, he is a man who, he doesn't drink, and he doesn't smoke, and he doesn't gamble, and doesn't run around on his wife. He'll give you the shirt off of his back. He is a good man. What does that mean? Well, according to them, is that if he's a good moral person, he's equated with being a Christian. He may not go to church. He may not really be a religious man. He believes in God, though, so it doesn't make any difference what he does in religion or what he believes in religion, just as long as he's a religious man. You see, we're living in the day of postmodernism where there are no absolutes, we are told. There is no standard by which we determine right from wrong, and consequently, it really doesn't make any difference what we believe in religion. Now, most of our religious friends in denominationalism think that it makes no difference what we believe in religion. And so that's why when we talk to them about religious differences, they're not interested in talking about those differences because, after all, the very popular concept is it doesn't make any difference what you believe in religion. But now let's go a step further and consider the fact that now that we know it's a very popular concept, I want us to consider that that serves as a barrier to the gospel. That is, in our efforts to teach the gospel of Christ, this concept serves as a barrier to the gospel. You see, our efforts to teach people in the world is simply an effort that we're trying to get the gospel to the hearts of men and women. And what we're trying to do is take the gospel of Jesus Christ and penetrate the hearts of people out here who are not God's people, because we recognize that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That gospel must penetrate their hearts in order for them to become Christians. But as long as they have in their idea, in their mind, that it does not make any difference what you believe, the gospel cannot get through that barrier in order to penetrate their hearts. Now, why is that? As long as they have this barrier in their heart, there is no need to study the issues and the things that divide the religious world. Why study? It makes no difference what you believe, doesn't it? Since it makes no difference, why should I study the issue of is baptism essential to salvation? And why should we study the issue is instrumental music scriptural? Or is there one member or three members of the Godhead? Or is Holy Spirit baptism for believers today? Or what about the work and the organization and the worship of the church? Or should the church engage in the social gospel? None of those things are really all that important because we don't really need to study those questions and issues because, after all, it doesn't make any difference what we believe in religion. You ever talk to a friend or a neighbor and you'd say, I'd like to talk to you about what you practice in your church. And they don't really want to study because those issues become trivial matters, you see. Since it doesn't make any difference what you believe, all of those issues we just mentioned, whether it be instrumental music, the work of the church, the worship of the church, or is Holy Spirit baptism for believers today, any of those questions and many more are just as trivial as the question of where did Cain get his wife. You see, that really doesn't make any difference. Our salvation isn't affected by that. And as long as it makes no difference what we believe, the issue is baptism essential is not a salvation issue. And so is the question of instrumental music. That's not a salvation issue. As long as it makes no difference what you believe in religion. And so these people, though they haven't heard the gospel hasn't penetrated their hearts. They do not understand it. They're made to feel comfortable in spite of their lack of understanding. Well, they don't understand those questions and issues. They're made to feel comfortable in spite of that. Why? Because after all, it doesn't make any difference. So what if I'm wrong about instrumental music? And suppose I'm wrong about the Godhead? And suppose I'm wrong about the work and the organization of the church? After all, now, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere. And I'm sincere, it doesn't really make any difference. You see how that's an effective tool of Satan? Do you see how that serves as a barrier to the gospel? The gospel cannot get through and penetrate their hearts. So when I invite them to church, you see, and I try to tell them, won't you come over with us to the Knollwood Church of Christ and visit with us? We're having a gospel meeting this week. They have an attitude that says, I have a church, so I don't really need another. You see, trying to introduce them to a different church is like trying to sell a new vacuum cleaner to someone who's got a good one at home. They don't need another one. No, thank you. I appreciate your interest, but I don't need another one now because, after all, I've got a good one. See, it doesn't make any difference which one. And I'm satisfied with the one I have, so I already have a church. I don't need another. Can you see that that's one of the devil's most effective tools that he has in all of his bags of tricks? If he can convince people that it makes no difference, there is a barrier there, and we cannot penetrate that barrier as long as that's in their hearts and in their minds. And I want to suggest to you that that's not only out there in the denominational world. There are some of our brethren who have a concept that it really doesn't make any difference what you believe. And that is a barrier to further study over the issues and the questions that divide brethren as well. Now I know that's a very popular concept. Most of our religious friends believe that. And I know that that serves as a barrier to the gospel. But I want us to talk about the fact that it does make a difference what we believe in religion. Let's establish the fact that it does make a difference what we believe in religious matters. But I want us to begin that section of our study by talking about the fact that that concept will not work in other areas of life, will it? Let's try it on in other areas. Isn't it interesting that when it comes to religious matters, we'll say things like, it doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere, but that concept will not work in areas like business, for example. Now, many of you are in the business world, and you recognize that in the business world, no one would say, you know, it doesn't make any difference what you believe in the business realm, would you? It doesn't work in the business realm, does it? Let's suppose instead of tonight, this being a religious service, let's suppose this is a sales pitch because we're starting a new company, a new business, and we need capital, and we're wanting you to be investors in our new business. And let's just suppose that tonight we give such a sales pitch that we convince you and put such a sales pitch on you that you are convinced that we know as much, that I know as much about building aircraft as Boeing Aircraft, and I need some capital to get my business going. The sales pitch is so great that you decide, I think I want to put $5,000 in it, maybe $10,000. More if I could borrow money to put in that. I want to invest something because these fellows know more about building aircraft than Boeing Aircraft or McDonnell Douglas. And you invest your money believing it to be a good investment. Make any difference what you believe? It certainly does because you just lost all of your money. I know nothing about building aircraft. You just lost everything. You see, you could put money into a business believing it to be a good investment and lose everything you have. Does it make any difference what you believe as long as you're sincere? It certainly does make a difference in the matter of business. Let's try that on in the matters of health. Will it make any difference what you believe in matters of health? Let's just suppose that I give you a glass of clear liquid to drink and you drink it believing it to be water. Does it make any difference what you believe? It certainly does if it's poison. But in all sincerity, you thought it was water that you drank. Make any difference? We have a family at home where I preach where the little baby was crying and the mother was busy doing something else. She told the son of 10 years old, said, give that baby the bottle that's over there on the, fill the bottle full of the Kool-Aid and give that Kool-Aid to the baby. He goes over to the counter and he sees something of blue liquid and he pours it into the bottle and it's not Kool-Aid. It's Miracle-Gro. The baby survived. Does it make any difference though? Certainly did. Makes a baby sick. Make any difference what you believe in matters of health? As long as you're sincere, it certainly does. In the Nashville, Tennessee area a few years ago, there was a man who would love to go fishing, and he dug his own worms. And so one day he was out digging worms, and he found an unusually large nest of large worms. And he reasons, larger worms, larger fish. This is great. And so he goes out fishing with these larger worms, but he notices and he comments to someone who was in the boat with him, I've never had worms that bite like these worms bite. Never had that. Larger worms, larger fish. Men later died because they were poisonous snakes. Make any difference what you believe? It doesn't work in business. It doesn't work in health. But when it comes to matters of religion, we somehow think that it makes no difference what you believe in religion. But let's go a step further. I want to share with you the fact that if we can show from the Bible that there is something we must believe in. If I can show from the Bible there's just one thing that I have to believe in, if that's just God, then it makes a difference what I believe in, doesn't it? Well, I can show from the Bible that it makes a difference whether or not we believe in God, and if I have to believe in God, it makes a difference what I believe. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 now, and let's notice in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6. The text tells me there that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what I notice is two things about our belief in God. Number one, I must believe that he is, and secondly, I must believe that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If I must believe those two things about God, then it makes a difference what I believe in religion, then doesn't it? Well, furthermore, if I can show that I have to believe in Christ, and I can because John 8 and verse 24 said that if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Back up three verses to verse 21, he says that if you die in your sins where I go, you cannot come. Does it make a difference whether you believe in Christ? It certainly does. If I have to believe in Christ, it makes a difference what I believe in religion. You see, I can't be a Buddhist and deny that Jesus is the Son of God. I cannot be a Hindu and deny that Jesus is the Son of God. I cannot be one who is an Islamic and deny that Jesus is the Son of God. So it makes a difference whether or not I believe in Christ, therefore it makes a difference what I believe. Furthermore, I must believe the truth because Jesus said, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And he said, if anyone come unto you and preach any other gospel than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And the fact that I have to believe in God and Christ and the truth, that tells me that it makes a difference what I believe in religion. But let's go even a step further now. I want us to consider the fact that if there is such a thing as an objective standard or a fixed standard, whichever one of those terms rings a bell with you, that if there is such a thing as a fixed standard by which we determine right from wrong, then it makes a difference what we believe in religion, then doesn't it? And it's also true, if we come from the other side, that if it makes a difference what we believe in religion, then therefore there must be some kind of fixed standard in religion, then shouldn't there be? Let me illustrate that for a moment. Let's just suppose you're building a new house. And while I'm here this week, I'll tell you what, I'll save you some money. I'll wire the house for you. You say, well, Brother Ray, do you know anything about wiring houses? Well, it doesn't make any difference how you wire the house. As long as when you turn the switch, the lights come on, and as long as when you plug something into the outlet, you have electricity there. It doesn't make any difference how you wire the house. You say, well, I didn't know that, so you let me wire the house. And as I start on that, your neighbor says, does that preacher know anything about wiring houses? I don't know. He said, it doesn't make any difference. But your neighbor comes to you and he points out to you. He says, look here, I have the code book. I have the Ohio State code book. Or I have the Greene County code book that says that wiring the house has to be done by a particular method or mode. That is, it has to be done this way. You have to have ground fault receptacles in the kitchen and in the bathroom. You have to have conduit if it's on the outside of the wall. If it's underground, it has to have a certain kind of wire. You have to have a certain kind of a breaker if you're going to the dryer, etc. Oh, is there a standard? Are you saying there is a fixed standard, an objective standard of how you wire the house? Well, certainly there is. Well, you know what? It makes a difference in how you wire the house, doesn't it? Well, the same thing is true in religion. If there is a fixed standard, that tells me that it makes a difference what we believe in religion. Now, let's consider some things that all point to the same standard. They're not different standards, but all descriptions of that same standard. And all of them are saying that here is a standard by which we determine what we believe. Let's consider now what the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, Paul said that we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, and notice what he said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, what is he saying? According as it is written, we believe and we believe and speak. That is, we believe and speak in harmony with what is written. What are you saying, Paul? Paul said, I believe and I speak in harmony with what is written of God. What's your standard, Paul? Paul said, our standard is what's written of God. The same thing that Peter would call the oracles of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. There's your standard. And if there is that fixed standard, it makes a difference what we believe. Now, the Apostle Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 14 and 37, says that the things which I speak are the commandments of the Lord. That tells me there are some things that are not the commandments of the Lord, but he said the things that I speak are the commandments of the Lord. There's your fixed standard or your objective standard. Well, Paul saying to the Thessalonians, that when he was there in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, when I preached to you, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now, there are some things that are not the word of God, but this is the word of God. There's your objective standard. Well, when we look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we read how that all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. Here they're inspired writings. There are writings that are not inspired, but these are inspired. There's your fixed standard again. And here's another text. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 9 through 13, Paul said the words that they wrote were the words that were chosen by the Spirit of God. What I learned from all of these texts is the fact that there is an objective standard, and if there is an objective standard, it certainly makes a difference what we believe, just like the code book says that it makes a difference how you wire the house. But now let's even go a step further than that to consider not only that it makes a difference what we believe, but I want us to now begin to see the difference that it makes. Does it make any difference? We know that it does. But now what difference does it make? Let's go back to John 8 and verse 24 and verse 21. Jesus said in verse 24 that if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now verse 21 said that if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. Now let's talk about the question of who Jesus is. Is he the Son of God or is he not the Son of God? Jesus said that the one who believes in him, here's what's happened. Does it make any difference whether you believe in Christ or you do not believe in Christ? Well, here's the difference that it makes. That if you believe not that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. It makes a difference of whether sin is forgiven or you die in your sins. But what if you die in your sins? He said, where I go, you cannot come. He was going to heaven. The difference it makes is whether or not your sins are forgiven or whether or not you go to heaven. Or whether you die in sins or you go to eternal damnation. Does it make any difference what we believe in religion? Not only does it make a difference, but we're seeing now the difference that it makes. But another passage, even perhaps as forceful and more forceful than that, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. Open your Bibles, if you haven't already turned to some of the passages. Let's turn in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 10. And we'll read this passage more than once. I want us to see clearly from 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 10, that it makes a difference what we believe, but furthermore, I want us to see the difference that it makes. And he says in verse 10, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God would send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they might all be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I want you to notice, we'll read that again in a moment. But I want you to notice on the screen before you that we have in one column the lie, or that which is not the truth. On the other side, we have that which is the truth. Now, the lie over there is not just any lie. It's in contrast to the revelation of God, the revealed truth of God. That which is contrary to the revealed truth of God is that which is the lie and that which is error. Now, does it make any difference whether I believe the truth or I believe the error? Well, let's notice what these people did and what these people did and the consequence and the consequence. Now, let's read again very slowly. Notice. Verse 10. And with all unrighteous deception, I'm pointing out that every one of the things that are before you are found in the text. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. That's verse 10. Now verse 11. And for this reason, God would send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That's verse 11 now. Verse 12. That they might all be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Everything on the screen before you is found right there in the text. Taken directly from verses 10 through 12. Now what happened in this context? Here would be some who would be deceived. Here are some who do not love the truth. They are deluded. They believe the lie. They do not believe the truth. And they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They believe that which is not true. What happened to those who believed the lie and did not believe the truth? The text says they would perish and be condemned.
What about those who love the truth and believe the truth? These are the ones who would be saved. Does it make any difference what you believe? It certainly does. But not only do I see it makes a difference, I'm seeing the difference that it makes. It makes a difference in perishing and being condemned or being saved eternally. Does it make a difference what you believe in religion? It certainly does make a difference what we believe in religion. Let's open our Bibles now to 1 Kings chapter 13. Go back over to 1 Kings chapter 13 and notice a case in point of where one has the truth before him and he chooses to believe something other than the truth. Did he make any difference in his life? Let's see if it did. In the story in 1 Kings chapter 13, we have the story of a young prophet. We call him the young prophet in contrast to the old prophet mentioned at verse 11. The young prophet comes to Bethel and he prophesies, and Jeroboam, when he sees that he's prophesying, calls out for him to make the story short. I want to notice in verse 7 that the king called out for the young prophet to come home with him and refresh yourself and I will give you a reward. I want you to notice further in the context that the man of God, that's the young prophet, verse 8 said that if you were to give me half of your house, I would not go with you, nor to eat bread nor drink water in this place. Now why won't he do that? Now look at verse 9. For it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, return by the way that you came. Now here's what God said about that. Let's pause there for a moment, and here was the truth. Here's what God told me. Here's why I can't go home with you, King Jeroboam. It's because God said, do not eat bread, do not drink water, and do not return by the same way that you came. Anything hard about that? Not at all. I know it wasn't hard. I know it was clear and understandable. Because not only had he understood that, but he was able to turn around and explain it to King Jeroboam. He said, Jeroboam, I can't go back with you. Why? Because these are the instructions God gave me. He was able to tell it back just like he had heard it. He well understood the principle of truth. But let's go further. In verse 11, there was an old prophet there. And when he heard of what was going on, I'm paraphrasing, of course, he asked his sons which way did he go, and he asked them to saddle the donkey that he may go after him. And he went and he found the young prophet under an oak tree. In verse 14. And in verse 15, he said to the young prophet, this is the old prophet speaking to the young prophet, he said, come home with me and eat bread. And now the young prophet says in verse 16, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it has been told to me by the word of the Lord. Now I know it was the truth because this came from the word of the Lord. And he said, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way that you came. And stop there at verse 17. Not only did he well understand, he explained it to King Jeroboam, he explains it again in the same manner to the old prophet, and what he said is that the truth is, do not eat bread nor drink water, return by the same way that you came. I can't do that. I can't go back with you. Now verse 18 is interesting, because verse 18 said that the old prophet made this statement, I too am a prophet, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Now wait a minute. That doesn't sound like what I've heard before. You bring him back, the angel said to me, you bring him back to your house in violation of this principle, that he may eat bread and drink water. What the angel said was in direct contradiction of what he had understood to be the truth, and he explained to the king and explained to the old prophet. Now I want you to notice though, at the end of verse 18, the text says, and you might underline, but he lied to him. Now here was the lie. The lie was in direct contrast to that which is the truth. The lie was, bring him back to your house and he may eat bread and drink water. The exact opposite of the truth. Does it make any difference what he believes now as long as he's sincere? See, people in the religious world said, oh, it doesn't make any difference what you believe in religion as long as you're sincere. Well, here is a man who understands the truth, but he has someone to lie to and said, I too am a prophet. And God has changed his mind about that in essence, because here's what God told me by the angel. Does it make any difference what he believes? Well, let's see in the context if it made any difference. Verse 19 says, so he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. He did exactly what the lie said in direct contradiction of the truth that had been revealed to him that he well understood and explained to others. Any consequence to that? Well, you read a little further in the context, and we'll not take the time to read all of that, that as he went on his way, there was a lion who came out and slew him because he'd believed the lie. Make any difference what you believe? It did with this young prophet, didn't it? You see, he swallowed the lie that he'd been told. He swallowed the lie, and the consequence of that was that he was killed by a lion. Make any difference what he believed? It certainly did. Now, what have we seen thus far?
This concept that says it makes no difference what you believe in religion is a very popular concept. Most of our religious friends believe that. And that serves as one of the devil's most effective tools as a barrier so the gospel cannot get through and penetrate the heart. But what we've established is the fact that it really does make a difference what you believe in religion. Well, let's go a step further and raise the question, does it make any difference what we practice in religion? Does it make any difference what we do in religion? So you do your religion your way, and I'll do it my way. And after all, we're all on the same road anyway, aren't we? Going to heaven. As long as we're sincere, it doesn't matter, does it? Make any difference what you practice in religion? Well, let's toy with that just for a moment, and let's raise the question that if it does not make any difference what we practice in religion, if it does not make any difference what we practice in religion, then we can do anything we want to in religion, can't we? Oh, no, preacher, now wait a minute, I don't think we can do just anything. Well, then it makes a difference, then, doesn't it? Can't have your cake and eat it too. No, preacher, I don't think it makes any difference what we practice in religion. If that's the case, then we can do anything we want to do in religion. Can we handle snakes as an act of worship? Oh, no, preacher, that's carrying it too far. Why? Why is that carrying it too far? Now, forget about the fact that you may be afraid of snakes. Forget about that. Suppose people are not afraid of snakes. Is it all right to handle snakes as an act of worship before God? Is that okay? Oh, no, preacher, that's carrying it too far. I don't think we ought to be handling snakes as an act of worship. Then it makes a difference what we practice in religion, then, doesn't it? No, I don't think it makes any difference. Then what's wrong with handling snakes? Can you condemn the fellow who does handle snakes as an act of worship? And he says he's sincere in that because he believes God's pleased with his action. Well, it doesn't make any difference what we practice in religion, then all right. What about immoral acts as worship? You realize there was a church out in the West a number of years ago. They called itself the Church of Love, that when they would meet together, instead of singing and praying and observing the Lord's Supper, they assemble together, and you guessed it, they commit fornication one with another. Church of Love. You say, how sick, how absurd, how perverted can you be? What's wrong with that? After all, now, we're told it doesn't make any difference what you do in religion. Why don't we have immoral acts as an act of worship to honor God? You say, oh, no, God forbids immorality. All right, it makes a difference what we do in religion. That's our point. It makes a difference, doesn't it? I read once of another church where the priest would have the women come to him and commit fornication with him so that they could commune closer with God. They couldn't be close to God unless they committed fornication with him. What's wrong with that? You say, that's sick, that's perverted, you're right. But if it doesn't make any difference what we practice in religion, then immoral acts would be acceptable before God, wouldn't they? You say, no, they're not acceptable. Well, then it makes a difference what we practice in religion. But let's go now and consider some passages that tell us that our practice in religion must be according to that which is authorized by God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 5. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, the point being made in context is that the things that were of the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and the sacrifices and all that went with the Levitical priesthood were a type or a shadow of greater things to come. And that in order for it to be a type of that which is the greater to come, that God had instructed Moses to see thou make all things according to the pattern. Now get the point. If that which was the type or the shadow of the greater to come had to be according to the pattern, how much more would the real have to be made according to the pattern? And so God had a pattern or a plan. And so thus it has to be according to the pattern. Our practice must be in harmony with the pattern of God. Does it make any difference what we practice? It certainly does. It has to be according to the pattern, Hebrews 8 and verse 5. But here's another way of looking at the same thing. In Colossians 3 and in verse 17, the text tells me that whatever we do, in word or in deed, we're to do all in the name of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to do something in the name of the Lord? There are a few religious groups that tell us that do something in the name of the Lord means that you shout the name of Jesus while you're doing that, such as in baptism. And that means you're doing it in the name of the Lord as long as you mention the name of Jesus. But let's go back to Acts chapter 4 and let's get a biblical definition. What does it mean to do something in the name of another? It doesn't mean you're shouting the name Jesus while you're doing that. That doesn't mean it's in the name of the Lord. We can handle snakes and shout Jesus. That's not in the name of the Lord, though, is it? No, it wouldn't fit Colossians 3. Commit the immoral acts and shout Jesus in the middle of that. That doesn't mean it's in the name of the Lord, does it? What does it mean to do something in the name of the Lord? Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. When the apostles were arrested, they were questioned about their teaching, and the text says in verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, what was their question now? By what power or by what name have you done this?
In other words, their question was, in what name have you been teaching? In other words, who authorized this teaching? Whose power are you doing it in? Police comes to your house and they knock on the door and they say, open up in the name of the law. What does that mean? Because they shouted the term law. It means you're to open up. No. By the authority of the law. They have a court order. And so to do something in the name of the Lord means to do it by his authority. How do I know he has authorized it? In the words that he has revealed in the pages of the New Testament. 2 John in verse 9 says that whatever we do is to be within harmony of the doctrine of Christ. Whosoever goeth on where the text says, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. But whoso abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Does it make any difference what we practice? Our practice must be authorized within the doctrine of Christ. Paul would say we ought to walk according to the same rule, Philippians 3 and in verse 16. Does it make any difference what we practice in religion? It certainly does make a difference. But now let's go a step further, as we did in the other matters, and talk about the difference that it makes. It makes a difference what we practice. Let's talk about the difference that it makes. What difference does it make? We see what we practice affects our fellowship with God. 2 John verse 9. Remember we quoted that passage just a moment ago? That whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that is, he goes beyond the doctrine of Christ, doing that which is not authorized, the text says he has not God. No longer is he in fellowship with God. That's serious business. I said, oh, I don't think it makes any difference what you do in religion as long as you're sincere. And I tell you, the difference it makes is whether or not you're in fellowship with God. 2 John in verse 9. What difference does it make? It makes a difference with our eternal salvation. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 22 and 23. Do you remember this scene? This is one of those judgment scenes we talked about earlier in the week. One of those judgment scenes where in the day of judgment, people are before the Lord and the Lord makes a statement to them and they begin to wonder why the Lord's doing what he's doing. And he said, many would say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works. He said, we did a lot of good things. He said, but then I will profess unto them, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because they did works of lawlessness, iniquity. You see, it had to do with their eternal salvation. What difference does it make what you practiced in religion? It has a lot to do, it has everything to do with your fellowship with God, and it has everything to do with your eternal salvation. Does it make any difference what we believe in religion? It certainly does. Does it make any difference what we practice? It certainly does. Now let's talk about one more thing, and the lesson will be yours. Let's talk about consequences. What do we mean by that? Well, do you realize that any position you take, whether in religion or in other matters, secular matters, any position you take has consequences to that? We may not always realize that. We may just make a statement and not realize that there are consequences that go with that. It may be illustrated with something that seems quite absurd. If you might look out the door and out the window and you say, it's dark outside, you've just taken the position, it's dark. The consequence is the sun's not shining right now outside. Not in Dayton, Ohio, it's not. There are consequences to any position you take. So if we take the position and we say that it makes no difference what you believe in religion, we need to be ready to buy the consequences to that. Are you ready to buy the consequences if you're one of those who thinks, I don't think it makes any difference what you believe in religion? But on the other hand, if we understand that it does make a difference what we believe in religion, there are consequences to that, and we better be ready to buy those consequences as well. So let's look at the consequences of either one of those. Let's suppose now that it does not make any difference what you believe in religion, if that's true. Someone said, oh, I don't think it makes any difference what you believe. All right, then, it doesn't make any difference whether we believe or not. Oh, no, preacher, I think we have to believe in God. Well, then you think it makes a difference, then, don't you? Oh, I think we have to believe in Christ. Well, then you think it makes some difference what you believe. But you see, if it's really true, it doesn't make any difference what we believe, then it really doesn't make any difference whether we believe, because there wouldn't be anything I have to believe. There's not anything I'd have to believe if that statement's true. And if it's true that it does not make any difference what you believe, then it doesn't make any difference whether I believe the Bible or not. So, no, wait a minute, preacher. I'm not saying we can't believe the Bible. Well, then if we have to believe the Bible, then it makes a difference what we believe. That's our point. And so whatever the Bible says on this question or that one or any other question, we have to believe that, then, don't we? Oh, no, preacher, I don't think it makes any difference what you believe. Well, if it doesn't make any difference, it doesn't make any difference whether we believe the Bible. And what that really means is that what the Bible says is unimportant. You see, when I come along and tell people, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. What I'm telling people is that the book of God is really unimportant. You don't have to follow it. Just like the fellow who says, who knows that there is a code book about electrical wiring, he says it doesn't make any difference how you wire the house, says that the code book is unimportant. That's what he's saying, isn't it? You don't have to follow the code book, wire it any way you want to. And so it is when someone comes along and says, it doesn't make any difference what you believe in religion. He's saying the book of God is unimportant. And since the book of God is the book that God wrote, then what God says is unimportant. That's really what that says. Listen to me carefully as I suggest to you, that does not border on, that is blasphemy. Amen. To say it makes no difference what you believe in religion. Because it says what God says about any matter is really unimportant. Believe what you want to. Join the church of your choice. We have demonstrated here tonight that it does make a difference what you believe in religion, and if that's the case, and it is, then what are the consequences that go with that? If it makes a difference what you believe, then I need to know what the truth is, don't it? John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I need to know what the truth is. Whatever the question, whatever the issue, I want to know what the truth is. I'm not interested in what some preacher may think. I'm not so much interested in the elder's position. I'm not interested in what some paper stamp says or what some school says. I'm interested in what the text says. Because I need to know the truth. Because it makes a difference what I believe. And it furthermore means that I need to study and examine what I've been taught, like those noble Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11. When they were taught, they searched the scriptures to see if what they were taught was true. So I don't need to swallow it because my favorite preacher has said that's true. Or the commentary that I depend upon so much said it's true. I need to search it out and see if it's true because it makes a difference what I believe in religion. If it didn't make any difference, then swallow anything you want. But it makes a difference. I better examine what I've been taught to see if it's true. My best friend may believe that, but I better check it to see if it's true by the book. Like those noble Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11. Oh, brother so-and-so that's well-respected teaches that position, but I better check it by the book. And if it makes a difference, then I need to be obedient to the truth, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, 1 Peter 1:22. If it makes a difference what I practice in religion, as well as what I believe, then I need to be obedient to the truth, whatever that truth is. If I'm not a Christian, I need to become a Christian and be obedient to the simple first principles of the gospel. If I'm a Christian, I need to be obedient to the portion of the gospel that has to do with living a faithful Christian life. Anything the gospel instructs me to do, I need to be obedient to that because it makes a difference what you practice in religion. And then in living that Christian life, I need to be careful and circumspect in my living the Christian life. In Ephesians 5:15, we need to walk circumspectly, carefully. The New King James words that. They're deliberately putting one foot here and one foot there. If you've ever walked through the attic of your house without plywood and flooring, you know what it is to walk circumspectly. Place your foot firmly here, and then you place it firmly there, lest you fall through the drywall. And that's how we live the Christian life. Why? Because it makes a difference what we believe. And it makes a difference what we practice in religion. What we've seen tonight is that that's a very popular concept. Most of our religious friends and neighbors believe that. That serves as a barrier to the gospel. We've seen that it does make a difference what we believe. It does make a difference what we practice. And we see consequences of either one of those positions. It makes a difference whether or not you're a Christian. It makes a difference whether or not you believe Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. It makes a difference whether or not you repent of your sins. It makes a difference whether or not you confess your faith in Christ. It makes a difference whether or not you're baptized for the remission of sins. Because those are the things that are found in the revealed truth of God. And if it's in the truth of God, it makes a difference whether you believe it, and it makes a difference whether or not you obey. Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? If you're not, would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith in Him, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?